you is I believe that when we were born sinners. We were born that way. And each person that has ever been on this planet, at some point in their life, they will have an opportunity, at least one opportunity in their lifetime, to accept the Lord. And that is why the Word of God says, now choose you this day. What do you want in your life? Do you want a blessing or do you want a curse? And some people think that the Word of God is so harsh. No, the Word of God is just accurate.
That's right. Amen.
It's not harsh. And people get so offended at the Word of God. They get offended at pastors. Now, I will say this, and I am going to preach reality. There are some pastors that absolutely suck. Can I be real today? I'm not in the mood to sugarcoat nothing. There's just some pastors, and they really suck, and they should not be pastoring. And I don't think God called them. I think they just think it's a glamorous job. And let me tell you something. This is the most unglamorous thing I think a person could do. And if you ain't called to do it, it will kill you. You'll die just worrying about all the things that come up in just a 30-minute span. Okay? Salvation is something that you choose. And you don't just choose it one time. I'm trying to teach you today. Salvation is something that you choose, and you don't just choose it one time. You choose it every single day. There are times where you choose it moment by moment. Second by second. Day by day. You choose salvation every single day. I want to ask you today, are you saved? Are you saved? Are you saved? Are you a saved person? Are you a kept person? Why am I talking about this today? Well, you know, I preached a funeral yesterday. I was with Brother Charles Thursday, and what I know is that it's time for some people to sober up. Sober it on up. And not just in here, but for people that are watching this. You may watch this in 1 month from now, and you know what? This message is just for you. Sober it on up. So work with fear and trembling to discover what it really means to be saved. What does it really mean to be saved? What does it really mean to be a child of God? What does that really, really mean? Some people think they're saved just because they got baptized when they were a kid. That doesn't mean anything. I'm going to keep it real. Now, if realness and reality offend you, this ain't going to be the church for you. Okay? Why am I being so blunt today? I want to make sure that y'all go to heaven, that I do everything that I can do to get you there. But at the end of the day, that's your choice. But I'm going to definitely say it. This is where you hear me quote this verse so many times in my sermons, and I'll say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That is where this comes from, this verse, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And I always wondered, what does that mean to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? First of all, you can't work out somebody else's salvation. There's too many nosy Christians, and we're too concerned about what other people are doing while we're over here doing what we know darn well God don't want us doing, and we're still doing that stuff. It's time to quit that.
Yeah.
And work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Here's what the fear and trembling means. To use serious caution and to critically self-evaluate and to avoid anything that might offend God. What does that mean when the Word of God says, work out your own salvation and do it? He tells us how to do it, and he says, do it with fear and trembling. And I've always wondered, what does that really, really mean, God? And when I read it in the CEV version last night, it just came alive to me. You know, when you're working it out, your salvation, first of all, that's going to be a workout. Okay? There are times where you and your salvation, you wrestle to the ground with it because there's things that you want to do that you can't do because you're a saved person. And it's only when the believer starts indulging and compromising in what they know they're not supposed to be doing, but they compromise and do it anyways, that's where you end up with your life in shambles and you don't know how you got there. And most people blame that on God. But see, God is not the author of confusion.
That's right.
Amen. He is the author and the finisher of our faith.
That's right.
And so to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, I'm going to read it to you one more time. To use serious caution and to critically self-evaluate. If you're not spending moments in your day and moments in your life self-evaluating, what does the Bible call self-evaluation? Well, it says this, if you would judge yourself, I wouldn't have to judge you. If you would judge yourself, and there's too many believers and they ain't judging themselves and they darn sure aren't doing any self-evaluation. One of the most powerful things that you can do in your life is to take a little evaluation test on your own self. Stop looking at Sally Sue and Billy Joe and you worry about yourself, because the Word of God says that straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and very, very few people that find it. And the reason because very few people find it is because very few people actually care to do what God wants you to do. There's too many believers and we are offending the heck out of God, and God ain't blessing the things that we're doing. I've got things in my own life, Angel, that I better quit doing, because see, God ain't happy and I'm offending Him when I do them. Now, I'm talking about me because I want to encourage you to get yourself where you're looking at yourself. Stop looking at other people. Start looking at your own life. What are you doing that could offend God? What are you doing that could offend Him? I've preached too many messages where I've got a little candy wrapper on these things. And I thought I was preaching it real, but it's going to get real, real. Amen? Because I love y'all so much, one of two things is going to happen. I will offend the crap out of you, or we will get it right. Amen? Now, look here, if you're a super religious person and you're thinking, oh my God, she said crap, I'm leaving. Look here, you go. Because I've also spent way too much time worrying about offending everybody. And I'm about to go to the funny farm doing that. Okay? We ain't going on a field trip. We got to all get ourselves straightened out. Everybody in the audience is going, I want to go too, Pastor. Some people love me so much, they'll support me going to that house. And they're like, can we come too? No, we got to get ourselves straightened out. Okay? So with fear and trembling, use some caution. Self-evaluate yourself. See, the Word says if you would judge yourself, if you would judge yourself. There's been times where I've told my husband, I don't feel good about what I did. That wasn't the right thing that I did. We can do little things, and my little baby Coco, that kid, I love both of my children, and he is not my favorite, but that's my baby, and I just can't explain it, but if you mamas that got your youngest children, those are your babies, and there's just something just a little bit different about the baby, and there's something different about the oldest one, too. They were the experiment child. We've done all of our experiments on them, and so we cut them a little slack because they're probably usually a lot of them are just straight up weird. But the baby, we kind of get some things straightened out, and we got our act together more a lot of times with the second one. And the other day I was telling Coco something, and Frank tells me this all the time, but the reason I do this is because I've learned not to assume that people know what I want and how I want it. But I'm a very OCD type of person, and I know what I want, which very few women do, and I know how I want it, and I know when I want it. And women, if you ain't like that, please get that way, because you're confusing your husband, because he's trying to give you what you want, and you don't even know what that is. Okay? So let's help them. So, Coco, I said something to the degree of, how many of you got dogs? How many of you love your babies? I love one of them. The other two get on my nerves. I love them too, but Sammy is my baby. Sammy is my emotional support dog. I mean, that dog, if he sees me crying, he is right up in my lap, and he is loving on me, and that dog is just one of my biggest blessings. And when we open that door, out Sammy goes. And he has got hair for days. And he loves to get in the mud. He's white. And he loves to get in the thorn bushes and all this stuff. And my sweet, crazy husband, he goes out there with a Walmart bag and he starts picking up all of the thorns and the thistles. And I know he's trying to do that to be helpful, but it's like we got a whole countryside of them. I mean, you know. So anyhow, I told Coco, I said, now Coco, when you open the door, when we get home, I want you to make sure that you shut the door to this car. One of them kids of mine, and they won't fess up, one time left the door open all night long, and the cats were sitting in the car when I got up in the morning. Now, if anybody knows how I feel about my vehicles, that really didn't make Mommy happy. So I said, when you get out of this car, shut the door, and then I want you to walk on the porch, and I do not want you to let that dog out. And I just kept on and kept on and kept on. Coco does it. I didn't know that he did everything the way I said, so I started repeating myself. He's a very sensitive child. He just had him a fit. He starts crying, so my heart is just instantly broken because I don't like to see that kid cry. The other one, if he's crying, there's something really wrong because he's not a crier. But now when Coco cries, I know Mommy's really hurt his feelings. And he starts crying. And then he kind of smarts off to me, and I was almost kind of proud of him that he did it because he put me right in my place. And he goes, I'm not stupid, Mom. Your little lack of faith in me. And I was like, and he goes, you know, you don't have to spell everything out to me because I'm not dumb. I heard you the first time. And I instantly evaluated myself as a mother. And I went into his room and he was just sobbing. And that made me feel like this big. And I said, Coco, Mommy's just a jerk sometimes. That wasn't on you, baby. That was on me. Can you evaluate yourself when you don't act right? Can you evaluate yourself when you don't think right? See, because if you can, that's a part of working out your own salvation. And if you can't, you're not working out your own salvation. If you are not self-evaluating yourself, if you're not looking in your life, if you're not taking an inventory of your deeds, of your words, of your thoughts, of your actions, you're not working out your own salvation. I want to bring that to your attention today because there's areas in your life that God wants to help you with, but He can't if you're not evaluating your own life. Now, can God help you do evaluation? Absolutely. But see, there's things that we don't even have to ask God about that we know that we're doing that it ain't good. Amen. It's like when we stub our toe and we start saying how the devil messed us up. No, you weren't looking where you were going. Don't give the devil glory where he didn't do it. So we got to work out our own salvation with fear and with trembling. Verse 13. Daddy, your microphone's on. So it says, so work at fear and trembling to with fear and trembling to discover what it really means to be saved. What it really means to be saved. One of the ways that you know that you're saved is when you are on a daily basis working out your salvation. When you're taking a look at your life and you're saying, did I do good today? Did I do His will today? Did I step out of line today? And then the other part of knowing that you're saved is repentance. Repentance. There's too many believers that don't know how to say two phrases. I was wrong, and I'm sorry. I was wrong, and I'm sorry. What are the characteristics of a believer? Somebody that can say, I was wrong, and I'm sorry. That pride wants to come into us when we know that we should repent, and it wants to give us every get out of what the Word of God tells you that you have to do. And in verse 13, it says this, God, not His peon, not His assistant, not His volunteer, God Himself is working in you to make you willing and able. God is a personal God. And when you start working out your salvation, when you start your life as a believer, God is there inside of you on your good days and your bad days. And the Word of God gives us this promise that He Himself is working inside of you to make you willing. You don't wake up every morning feeling willing to do what He wants you to do. Right. Ever have something that God wants them to do and you're going, I think the devil's talking to me. Surely that's not God. God wouldn't tell me to turn the other cheek. God wouldn't tell me to just look past that. No, that's got to be the devil. No, the Word says that God is working inside of you to make you some of you, you've got loved ones, and they're not going the way that you hoped that they would. And you think that giving them the silent treatment's really going to show them. It doesn't. And the Word of God says that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous person avails much. If you can begin to pray, Lord, I thank You right now for doing the Word in my baby's life. God, I thank You that You are working inside of them to make them willing and to make them able to do what You would have them to do. Lord, I thank You that they come to know what it really means to be saved. Pray those type of prayers. A part of a true believer is someone that works out their salvation on a daily basis, and it requires a working out. It's not a routinistic type of thing. There's too many people that come and sit in church pews, and they don't understand that alone is not getting them into heaven. Sweetheart, as usual, I have forgotten something that's a vital part of my message. And in that back bathroom, unless somebody in this wonderful congregation or one of my volunteers has moved it, there is a mirror, and it's one of those big ones. I think it's in there. Does anybody else get forgetful? I think that happens when you get about 40. I can't see the words on the TV no more. I'm hot. and then I'm cold. And then I want to cry, and then I want to choke somebody. I don't know if that's being a pastor or if that's being a woman or both. I'm not sure. Do you work on your salvation? Do you self-evaluate? Do you check yourself? Do you hold yourself accountable? Do you hold yourself accountable? I had a conversation with someone some time ago, and they said, I don't answer to anybody. Everybody do this with me. Uh-uh. Those are the type of statements when the Word of God says that the heart is wicked, and above all, who can know it? It's deceitful. Can I get you to understanding today the importance of accountability? We all are going to have to answer to God. Okay? There's too many believers saying, God's going to understand why I'm doing this. He's going to understand. No, He's not. He's going to understand that you had the choice to do His Word and you didn't. And that's what He will understand. This is the best guy. Will you put it on this side? See, I told you how I want it. Let me tell you. This is perfect. I don't know how many women are getting into this bronzing yourself and contouring and all these things. Let me tell you. Okay. We ain't going for that. All right. Well, I've been doing it. I went into Ulta the other day and they said, girl, you're snatched. You know what I did? I got in the car, Sophie, and I Googled, what is snatched? That's how I know I'm getting older. It says it means a person that's put together. And they told me that the contouring was going to do that. I bought it. I've been contouring everything. Hey, if I can be put together, that's what I want. Okay? Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 22. Talking to you today about salvation. You know, I never know who's going to be in the service. But God does. And here is the unique thing about a church service. They're sacred. They're holy. Never again will there be the exact same people here. The Word tells us, do not forsake the gathering of believers. I want to put this inside of you today. If you call this your home church, you should be planted in this church. Find a way to serve in your church. Find a way to support your church. James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. What does this mean? That it's possible for you to hear the Word of God, and if all you're doing is hearing and listening to it, you could still be deceived. What does this mean? You could be in this service right now, and you could hear this wonderful message that your pastor is delivering to you, but you could still walk out of there, and if you don't apply it, you're deceiving yourself. At that point, it doesn't become my problem. That's a you problem. Because see, You've got to live out the sermon. You've got to do the word. Doing the word. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. There's people and they're saying, I'm doing everything right. I'm going to church 3 days a week. I'm paying my bills. I'm being a good citizen. I'm this and I'm that. I am, you know, and we could gain the whole world and still lose our soul. Here's what I know. I do a lot of good things in the community. I do good things in the community 7 days a week. That is not what is getting me into heaven. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. How do you know that you are saved? How do you know that you are a believer? Don't merely listen to the word. Do what it says. Okay. How do you do what it says? You know what it says. You can't do something that you don't know. When I was a kid, my dad took me, Shelly, and Melissa for a getting our driver's license test. We did not study. We did not nothing. And we took it in Fort Smith, and this is what he said. And I remember this because it's hilarious. He was driving up there, and he was certain all three of us girls was going to pass this test. And here's what he said. I can still hear it to this day. A retarded purple monkey could pass this driving test. Guess what? We all three failed. We all three got in the car, and we all three were crying, and he had to take us out to eat, and he had to, whatever it means when you take what you said back, he had to do that. Recant. He ate those words because we didn't pass him the second time either. Did a lot of recanting at that moment. And Shelly, it took her a long time to pass that, okay? But what am I saying? You can't do something that you don't know, and you can't know something unless you get into it and you start really looking and reading for yourself. I can come up here every Sunday and tell you the best things, tell you the best advice, tell you the Word of God, but if you're not getting in the Word of God yourself, you're doing yourself a disservice. So it says here, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. What does that mean? We're here. We're looking at ourselves. If I turn away and I forget what I just saw, that's exactly what the Bible's saying. What does that mean? I'll give you an example. I had a women's prayer breakfast about a year ago. And I was preaching, and we were learning that day what it is to be a Christian woman and to be a good influence on other women. And I had two women that came and immediately, they get in the car, they decide it's a good time to go and drink vodka, and they did, and they were driving when they did it, and they both got pulled over, and they both went to jail. Now, I can't make this stuff up. This is ministry. Don't ever wonder why I'm half insane. And just pray for me that I don't go the other half. That's what this means. To sit there and hear the Word of God, to know what the Word of God says, but then immediately the second that you have the first opportunity, you don't even live it out. Oh, that was a great prayer breakfast, Pastor Crowley. Hey, let's go drink. No. Did you just forget what we just talked about? Look here. If you're going to go pull some shenanigans after this service, that's not good. Okay? Cancel those plans. I want you to know what the Word of God is telling you, and I don't want you to be deceived. You're either saved or you're not. And there is not a pretty way to say that. Do we all get that? Don't be mad at me. And if you are, get over it. You're either saved today or you're not. And I pray that you know if you are or not. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. Not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. He will be blessed in what he does. When you become a doer of the Word, there's a blessing in just that. There's a blessing for you in being somebody that does the Word. That does the Word. Are you saved? Do you self-evaluate yourself? Are you a doer of the Word? And are you even in the Word? These are questions I want you to ask yourself. These are not to condemn you. I'm not up here condemning you. What I am doing today is I am making you aware of what you have to do. Okay? There's a difference. There's a difference. You've got a pastor up here that loves you and cares about you and cares where you're going. And I'm talking about heaven or hell there. I love this next set of verses. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. There's too many religious people flapping their big fat jaws and that religiousness is not doing anybody any good. I'm going to give you another example of that. Why am I giving you examples today? Because I want you to really, really know exactly what I'm saying. I have sat in churches and heard messages, and I thought, I am very confused about what I just heard. There will be no confusion when you leave because I am spelling it out. Several months ago, on a Monday, I was ministering in the Logan County Jail. And the moment that I walked in, I saw this little girl. And something hit me very heavy for her, and I could not explain what it was, but I knew there was something there that God wanted to use me to get corrected in her life. And I began to tell them how the Lord loved them. How God loved him and he wanted to be the Lord of their life. That he wasn't mad about whatever they had done. That he was there to forgive. That he's not looking to punish you. And she just broke. And she just began to weep. And I said, Sissy, what's going on? And she says, I can't do the Jesus thing anymore. And I'll tell you why. She said, my father and my brother both killed themselves. And I went to church after they did it. And they told me that my loved ones were not in heaven because they did that. And I cannot trust a God that would keep them out just because of that. Now listen to me and hear me and don't get your feathers ruffled. I'm not up here preaching today whether that's right or wrong, but what I am going to preach to you today is keep your mouth shut. Why? Because I just read a verse that tells us to keep it shut. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. What good did that religious talk to that girl do? Did it do anything positive? No, it didn't. And I'm going to tell you something. And if you don't remember anything else in this service, I want you to remember this. There will be people in heaven that you did not expect. There will be people not in heaven that you expected that they would be and they're not. What does that mean? Don't even let your pea brain go there. We don't have a right to say those type of things to people. Because what it did for her was it made her reject Christ. Now, I looked at her and I said this. So let me tell you something, sweetheart. What you got there was just a religious idiot. And I'm asking you and I'm begging you to give the Lord, who is a loving God, another chance. Because see, God did not say that to you. So I'm asking you to give him another chance. And don't hold what a religious dummy said to you. See, when you're saved, please hear me. When you are a saved person, you begin to consider what your words will have impact on another person. The Word of God tells us, he who winneth souls is wise. The only thing that you can take out of this life is souls, and that's it. And not only should you do that, but it is your job. It is in the Great Commission of what he tells us to do. Go into all of the world and make disciples. How do you make disciples? You begin to love on people and you begin to think about how your words could either heal them or hurt them. That is what a saved person thinks. And if you're one of these people that just say, well, I just don't think before I speak, you need to work on that. Because our words matter, and the words of a believer, they matter even more. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. What does God accept? Work out your own salvation. Do not allow yourself to be polluted with what the world is shoving down your throat. You cannot even watch a commercial without a half-naked woman eating her hamburger. Now, that naked woman don't have nothing to do with that hamburger, let me tell you. Your child cannot even go and watch a cartoon anymore without seeing stuff that they should not see. Every turn and every twist, the world is trying to get us to accept something that the Lord will never accept. And the Word of God offends people because it tells them that there's times where they're wrong. And a part of being a saved person is knowing the Word good enough that you can let that Word come in and begin to judge you and help you judge yourself. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 12 through 13. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Be a lover of the Word. Why? Because the Word of God is one of the biggest parts of your salvation. It is one of the biggest parts that helps you as a believer. I don't even think that you can really be a believer if you're not in the Word. You need to get yourself in the Word of God. Why is that? Because the Word of God has a job to do in your life. And here's what it is. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The Word will direct you. The Word will correct you. It will guide you. It will let you know if you're going the right direction. See, the Word of God, there's nothing that you can do to replace that in your life. It has to be there. It has to be in the believer's heart. Go with me now to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. This morning, I was walking through the living room, and I had a thought. And I was thinking, a concern came to my mind about a certain thing in the ministry. And I was sitting there thinking, God, is this going to be okay? How many of you have thoughts in your life and you think, Lord, is this going to be all right? I no more than thought that thought. And my phone went off. And here was the text. Somebody texted me this. They don't go to church here, but they're a believer. And I'm not kidding you. I thought the thought, and the phone went off. It was just a simultaneous thing. And here's what the verse was. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. I no more than thought the thought. And God, what did He send? He sent His Word. He sent His Word. When nothing else is working in your life, what I can tell you that is a guarantee is the Word works. The Word works. It will work for you when everything and everybody has failed you. The Word will work. That's why I'm asking you, I am begging you to get it in your life, to be the believer that you've always wanted to be. Get that Word of God in your life. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. This world has a pattern. It has a pattern. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our mind? We speak the word. We speak the word. You cannot speak the word if you don't know it. You cannot speak it if you don't know it. You cannot speak it if you don't know it. The word has worked in my life when nothing else did. God has been there for me when no one else was. May the 30th, I will have been with the Lord for 33 years. I still remember what it felt like when I hit my knees and I asked the Lord to come in. The other day I was driving in my car and I was talking to God. And I said, God, and I began to name off some things. Lord, I don't know about this, and this. And then I began to renew my mind and I began to shift some things around. Because see, we shouldn't focus on what we don't know, because we should understand that Jeremiah chapter 29 and 11 is accurate in our life, where it says, for I know the plans. I know them. You don't got to know them. I know them. And I said, Lord, I'm not going to focus on what I don't know, but I am going to focus on what I know. And Lord, what I know is that I'm a saved person. And I began to thank God for everything that He had gotten me through. If I died today, I know where I'm going. Do you? This message has been real. I don't have any regrets. If you have any complaints, keep them to yourself. I'm not taking complaints this week. I have a question. Because I'm not going to preach a message like this and not give you an opportunity. I don't know why I preached this. I just know I preached what I was supposed to. Does anybody in here need to be saved? If you are and you'll raise your hand, I will come to you. And we will pray. And I'm going to give you a moment. I see those hands. I'm going to give you another moment. I feel like somebody's saying, this is me. But I'm nervous and I don't like to do things in front of people. Look here. If you're ashamed of him down here, let's get that part straightened out. Nothing's worth not coming to know the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you something. When everything fails you, God will not fail. He will not fail because He can't. He will not fail because He can't. I'm going to give you one more moment. What is the Lord doing? He's walking down every aisle. He's convicting every heart. Why? Because you're worth it. Because you're worth it. because he wants to save you. And when God saves you, he saves you from the inside out. From the inside out. I'm going to push this one step further. For all the clock watchers, we're still good. I know what you're thinking. We're still good. Does anybody need to rededicate their life? Have you been away from him? Have you been away? Has there some things been up there and gotten up in between you and you don't feel like you're where you should be? Sweetheart, get this plant. Now, I know I said that I was going to come to each person. I'm a very real pastor, and I'm going to ask you a very real question. Is anybody that raised their hand, are y'all going to be offended if I ask you to come up here? Because I've got people everywhere. Is anybody offended about that? Can I ask whoever raised their hand to come to the front? Daddy, I want you to be up here. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to get in a circle. And we're going to just take one another by the hand. So let's spread out. See, God knew exactly who was here. Now, if you're sitting in your chair right now and you're saying, I should be up there, get your butt up here. I'm not going to say that pretty because let me tell you something. God loves you. If he's sitting there and he's knocking, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Is he knocking? Is the Lord knocking on your heart? Because let me tell you something. Today is the day of salvation. Is he knocking? Is he knocking? Y'all make room for these. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. What did God do in this service today? He began to knock. And if he began to knock on your heart, you should be up here. I'm going to give you one more minute, and this is the last call for it.